Oh, praise the Lord. I always enjoy speaking, you know. It's my favorite thing to do. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, when the Lord anoints you to do something and you have a love for it, then it's easy, right? So when Jim called me Friday morning on my way to work, "You want to speak this Sunday?" My first reaction is, "I don't have enough time to get ready." But you know, the Lord gives it to you. So you don't, it doesn't come from you, it comes from Him. So if we can rely on Him to give it, then He can give it to us right away. And that's what He's done. So today you get blessed with instant. You know, instant coffee? Well, maybe some of you don't like it, but I kind of like it. Okay, so today we're going to open up our scripture to the book of Colossians, second chapter, and we're going to start in the 10th verse. Now, I hope you guys are all ready to interact, because if you just sit there and don't respond to me, I may just go sit down. I need response. If you haven't noticed that before, you know, when I go around, I like to get people to respond, right? Yes, amen. All right. So some amens is good. Good, I heard one. Okay, so today my text is going to be out of chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, "And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." You notice how God always kind of prepares the ground for stuff? I told Shelley, "You guys were talking about my message today in this praise and worship." I said, "Yeah, preparing the ground." So your ground and your heart has been prepared by the Lord to receive what He gave me to tell you today. Amen? All right. So these words, "complete in Him," this last week just stood out to me when I was reading the scripture. You know how it's sometimes like, oh, complete in Him. What does that mean? Complete in Him. And He's the head of all principality and power. Now, we know we've read the scriptures where, you know, Satan has this dominion and all these principalities and powers. Well, there's good principalities and powers, and there's bad principalities and powers. And Christ is the head over it all, right? And if He's the head and we're in the body, where does that put us? I guess this crowd doesn't know. I don't think they've been listening to you preach, Pastor Jim. Because they're not responding very loud here. Okay, does that mean that we are also over principalities and powers?
Yes.
Oh, much better. You learn quick. Gee, praise the Lord. So, you know, these epistles that Paul wrote were written to all the Christians, right? And even though it was written to the Christians that were in Colossae, it was written to all Christians. And that means if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, that means all the promises, everything that he was talking to them about, belongs to us too, right? So when he says you, that means you and me, are complete in him, that means we have nothing lacking, right? There's nothing lacking. Well, have you ever felt like something was missing? I think maybe every day. It's like, oh, I just don't know what to do in this situation. Well, this says we're complete in him. So the knowledge must be there somewhere. Well, if Christ is in us, then that knowledge and that information is within us, right?
Yeah.
I like to think of it as like God made this little place, not really little, but in our spirit, He made a place for Himself. And when we get saved, and when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, they come and indwell that place within us and makes us complete. So are we complete without Him? So if we're living in the world and we don't have Christ, do we have all the answers?
No.
You know, we live in a very educated area of the country. About every town you go to, you can find a college or university or something like that. So there's a lot of knowledge out there. But how many of you know that we have to have wisdom to go with it? If you just have knowledge without wisdom, then you get philosophy. you get man's ideas. You get man's intelligence. You get all of this. And we're going to touch a little bit more on this as we go along. Okay. So I'm going to be given you a lot of stuff out of the Word, which I'm not going to give you scripture and verse for everything, otherwise we'd be here all day. And I think Pastor Jim wants to leave today. I mean, he wants to go on vacation. Sometime today. Okay. All right. So anyway, I have key verses I'm going to give you. But if something really stands out to you, and you say, well, I wonder where that is. Well, jot it down, and you look it up in the Word. Okay? You shouldn't just depend on what I'm saying. You should look it up in the Word. Right? Amen. We got some amens there. Okay, so now we're going to do something a little interesting. Instead of starting at the top and reading down, we're starting at the bottom and reading up. Okay, so now we've read verse 10, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Christ dwells the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Isn't that what that means?
Yes.
That means the Trinity. So what happens when Christ comes to live within us? I'm here. Speak it up. We've got the Father, we have the Son, and the Holy Spirit all within us, right? So all wisdom and all knowledge, everything we have need of is right here, right? Praise God. Don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's right here. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we're going to look up at verse 2 and 3. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3. We're going to start right down in the middle here. And it says, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. So there's mystery in God, right? Mystery in God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So all the wisdom and all the knowledge that we have need of is in Christ. So now we know where to go to look, right?
Yes.
All right. Now look at Colossians 1:27. Okay. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So there was a mystery among the Gentiles. Which... this is the answer, what the mystery is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he was revealing to them that Christ is in us. See, before Jesus died, they were, you know, they didn't have Christ coming and living within them. The prophet and the priest and the king would sometimes hear from God, but the layman, the local person, didn't have this privilege of talking to God. You know? Very few people were selected to really hear the voice of God or hear from God. And now here he is saying this mystery is now that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So if he's in us, that must mean we have some kind of ability to communicate with him. Amen? You see how blessed we are? Now, we're blessed. Right now. So often we think we're all alone. You know, something happened this week and I just feel so alone. I don't have anyone. Well, I usually talk to so-and-so, but they're not available. Well, you're not alone. Christ is in you. We need to make use of that. Amen? Now, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Oh, I think I'm going the wrong way. Yep, I said we're going backwards, so I should have remembered. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, you there? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, if he's in me, of course he's strengthening me, because he's all powerful, right? So if I am paying attention to him, it might benefit me. I might have some strength here, right? Does this mean that I can just choose anything I want to do and Christ is going to strengthen me to do it?
No.
I want to go to the moon. Can I go to the moon? I've got a sure up here. Well, maybe. Someday. But right now? No. No. It's taken an awful big team of people and lots of money to get me to the moon. And even doesn't matter how much I wanted it or prayed for it, it's not likely to happen. But if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit and he's directed me and he tells me to do something, then I can do it, right? Now let's take this in context and read verse 12. What does verse 12 say? I know how to be abased or humble, and I know how to abound or live in prosperity. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So what he's actually talking about is no matter what circumstance I find myself in, Christ gives me the strength to go through it. So, say you're in a bad situation. Well, that's not pleasant at all, but God gives you the strength to go through it. Amen?
Amen?
Does that mean you have to stay there forever just because he gives you strength? No, we can take the other promises that he has and learn how to get out of it. Amen?
Amen.
We don't have to stay there. God doesn't want bad things for us, but he will strengthen us. And sometimes it takes longer to get out than we thought it would. But he'll still help us, right? Some things happen to us we never thought we would experience in life. And we just don't know what to do. But if he's within us, we can ask him, right? We can call upon the name of the Lord and ask him, how do we do this? How do we get out of this? Okay. Amen. I think we serve a good God, don't you?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. So, we can take those promises, but you know, promises are activated by faith. So just because the promises are there doesn't mean it's going to benefit us. We can read it, but if we don't put our faith with it, I think we're just going to remain in the situation. Sometimes God in His mercy will just help us out. But you know, that's assuming, because God said He responds to faith. So we have to hook up our faith with His promises, and that activates it. It's like a chemical formula, you know. I haven't had chemistry in a long time. But I know if you have this chemical and this chemical, and you put them together, something happens, right? Okay, well, that's what it's like when we mix our faith with His promise. We put it together, and all of a sudden, we got the benefit. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at Philippians 1:6. Have you gotten anything yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Philippians 1:6. All right, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I was getting prepared this morning too, because I had the TV on. I like to watch some of these preachers on Sunday morning. And if he didn't use this verse... I said, hey, wait a minute, that's my verse for my message. But isn't it nice when the Holy Spirit just kind of lets you know you're on the right track? He can do that every day of your life. So, he that has begun a good work in you will complete it. There's that complete word again. Complete means whole or finished, total, everything, together. It's all there. And he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, of course, everything's going to be completed. We go on to glory. Hallelujah. All of our troubles and trials are over, right? At least that's what we want to think. We really don't know what's coming. But I hear heaven's a good place to want to go. So... do you think God or Jesus ever started anything that he didn't complete? He made this world in pretty good time. And yet he's still working on us? No. Actually, we're already complete in him. He's not still working on us. There may be things that we have to catch up to him with, but he's already completed it. Right now, today, all we have to do is look inside. If we look at the Word and look inside, it matches. So I'm complete in him. If I'm in him, then I've got everything I need. I don't need anything else. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's turn to John, the book of John, the 14th chapter. I I know I may be giving you a lot of stuff, but it all centers around being complete in Him. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get that, okay? That we're complete in Him. I tell you, I'm just getting it. I told you I like to speak on things that I'm going through. Well, okay, the 19th verse through the 21st verse of chapter 14. And Jesus is talking here. It says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." There it is again. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." How do we show him that we love him? Aha, I heard it. We keep his commandments. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So what does manifest mean? It means to reveal, right? Show. So that means that Jesus is no longer going to be a mystery to us, right? Now, Jesus is a mystery to the world. They don't know who he is. They'll use his name in vain, and they'll say this and that and the other about Jesus. They don't know him. But he said he would reveal himself to us. Amen? Have you ever said, "Lord, just show me more of you. I want to know more of you." Well, how is he going to reveal this to us? Do you think he's going to just appear to us and say, "Oh, here I am, now get to know me"? His word. Amen? This, his written word, shows who he is. And when we really get to know him, we wouldn't be so worried about everything. I have to confess, I don't really know him. I know some about him. I love what I know about him, what I've experienced. But I'd never worry another day in my life if I really knew him. But he's manifesting himself to me. And little by little, I'm getting it. You know the story about you have to keep going around the mountain. You know, you're going to keep going around that mountain until you learn what that mountain looks like. Well, sometimes we just need to speak to that mountain. Okay. All right. So he's going to reveal himself to us. Now, everything that we hear or see, or every vision that we see, must be supported by the Word, right? If you can't find it in the Word, throw it out. Or at least put it on the ledge until you have searched everything. Until God says, "Nah, that's not right." Because in here is the words of wisdom and knowledge. And we can't always trust what we hear and see. You know why? Because there's someone else that likes to manifest himself as well. And a lot of times he'll come as an angel of light. He'll come in many different ways and forms. And many times he just wants us to think that we're talking to ourselves. And I've asked Everett to come up here and help me with a little demonstration here. He gets to play the devil. Hi, devil. Oh, I can't see you, can I? Anyway. Oh, man. You know, I just heard today my friend has cancer. I sure hate to listen. I mean, I sure hate. I sure hate to lose a friend. Gee, I wonder if I've got cancer. You know, it's in the environment. It's in the water that we drink. Oh, man. I'm going to have to go to the doctor right away. You know, I've had this pain that keeps happening. I better go get it checked right now. Because if she got cancer, I might have cancer. Okay. Oh, well. Gee. Hello. Oh, I think I'm going to go to the school cafeteria. I'm going in there and... Sally just gave me a dirty look. I thought she was my friend. What's wrong? Did I do something to her? I must have done something because she gave me this dirty look. My, I think I'm getting a headache. Gee, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I keep having all these terrible thoughts. Surely that's not me. You know, sometimes thoughts come from the devil. I should be taking authority over him. I remember reading somewhere in the Word of God. Yeah, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop putting evil thoughts in my mind. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You have no authority in my life. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and I'm not beneath. Hallelujah, God's Word works. Amen. Well, God ought to do it. I spoke to him, and God's word works. Let's see. I have this little spot on my arm. It's brown. I prayed over it, and it's still there. I commanded it to go. I know it's got to be skin cancer. Look at that. It hasn't got any better. I guess his word just doesn't.